Today I would like to share with you on the topic of time. Okay. I prayed and asked the Lord, and I thought it would be quite appropriate because I'm going to spend 2 months here, about 8 weeks, sharing with you the Word of God. So my time here is short. Okay. And we thank God for our two visitors who came from Netherlands. Okay. They will be leaving tomorrow, so their stay here also will be short. Their time here will be short too. Okay. We wish them God's blessing upon their journey back home. And we thank God that the gentleman is a pastor. We pray that God will use him to bring souls into his kingdom in Netherlands. Okay. Right. Time. Okay. Sometimes we don't take time seriously. Okay. We used to hear people say, I have no time. I can't come this week. I come another time. You know, time is hard. And so on. We know also that time and tide wait for no man. Man can boast of control over a lot of stuff, a lot of things, but they cannot control time. Time is not within man's control. Only God can control time. Like God is not affected by time. God is not ruled by time. We are. We wake up at certain periods of time. We eat our breakfast at certain time. We take our lunch at certain time. We go to work. We go to school at certain time. We spend certain times in our workplace, in our school, and so on. Okay. But time doesn't wait for us. Time is relentless. It marches on. It doesn't wait. And when you are happy, time seems so short. When you really enjoy yourself, time is really short. You wish you could lengthen time to have more enjoyment. And when you suffer, time seems very, very long. Especially if you are sick. The night is very long. You wait for morning to come. And every time you wake up, you only see maybe 10 minutes has passed by. And you thought, it was a long time, you know. Okay? I'm not sure about whether you have been afflicted by COVID-19. Okay? I had COVID-19 just last July for 11 days. And every time at night, the night seems so long. It seems endless. I just wish that morning would come. And morning came, I still had COVID. And I wish that night would come so I could sleep. But when night came, I couldn't sleep because I slept the whole day. And I waited for the next morning to come. So it was really quite a long time of suffering. But thank God for His grace and His mercy, I got through. And we thank God that we all have gone safely through the COVID affliction, but that seems quite some time ago, right? Okay. We almost forgot. Okay. But here in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we read that there's a season and a time for everything. And interestingly, the preacher wrote the first verse, a time to be born and a time to die. This is the beginning of life. And everything that follows is actually about life. Time to plant and time to pluck out and so on. Okay. Sometimes you find life is very boring. Life is very dull. But why is it so? Maybe because, I don't know. I take everything from the Lord as my ministry, not my job. Because if I take it as a job, I will find it very boring. I take it as a ministry, I find it very challenging and very fulfilling. If you go to school, don't take school as just a time that you have to go through. Enjoy your school. Make it a ministry. Tell God, you put me in this school, I'll do my best for you. I'll shine for you. Even if I don't do well, I'll do my best. Okay? God only wants the best from us. God doesn't measure success by success of the world standard. He measures success by our faithfulness. That's why he told Joshua, you want success, you must remember the book of the law of Moses. Meditate therein day and night. And do what is written therein. Then you will have success and then you will be prosperous. That's how God measures success, not the world. The world measures success by looking at your standard of living, by looking at your social status and so on. Okay. But we thank God. God is good. He's merciful. He measures our success by our faithfulness. So if you take your work as your ministry, you'll enjoy it. I was a teacher before. And I enjoyed my teaching life. Sometimes I go to school with joy in my heart, knowing that I can serve God in my school. And I have an opportunity to bring the gospel to the students in my church. And I thank God that during that time, we can preach the gospel very easily to our students, but not anymore. Today, there's a white paper, they call that. Something to do with religious harmony in Singapore. That you cannot force your religion upon another person who doesn't want to hear the gospel and so on. I didn't know, during my time as a teacher, we have freedom. And I thank God that I had very good students. They understand the lessons very quickly. And we all have time before the lesson ends, sometimes about 20 minutes, and I would tell them Bible stories. And I would tell them the gospel. And I thank God that today, many of them are Christians, and some of them are serving as missionaries. And I was sad to learn from one of my students, missionary to Myanmar and Cambodia, Thailand. He passed away at the age of 55. And when I went to his funeral, his mother said, why is it that the black hair people go off before the white hair people? No, the young one goes before the old ones. I said, well, God has a plan for everything. He has finished his job, so God has called him home to rest. So God hasn't called you and me because although our hair is white, our job is not done. We still have got to continue on. So time is not ready. In Britain, I do not know about your system of looking, going to consult a doctor. In Singapore, polyclinics and hospitals, we will have to get numbers, queue numbers. And when you go and see the doctor, outside you wait, outside the room, you'll see something flash by all the time. Your number may not be called in sequence. Doesn't mean that you are number two, you'll be the second one to see the doctor. Okay? Sometimes a guy who comes to number 10, he gets to see the doctor before you. Okay? So you cannot butt in and say, how is it that he's number 10, way back, and I'm number two, how come I get to see you later than him? Okay? So they already told you. So maybe God says your number is not called. I believe every one of us has a number. God has given us all of us a number. Because in Hebrews, the writer says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So maybe my time is not up yet.
his time is up, so God calls him back. I do not know. Okay. I'm still waiting for the Lord to call me. So we see there's a time for everything. Okay. Like David says in Psalm 15, he says, my times are in thy hand. Our times are in God's hand. God has every one of us within the palm of his hand, and our time is written there. When we are supposed to return home to see him. Okay. So we wait for our time. Okay. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for your time to go back, what are you going to do? Jesus says, occupy till I come. We have to work for him. Remember, at the end of time, when we go back to heaven, we will have to give an account of ourselves to the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat, the bema seat, what we have done for him with the life he has given to us. Okay. I'm 76 this year. I don't know how long I will live. When I cross the 70-year mark, I say I reached my first milestone. Psalm 90 says, the length of our days is 80. By reason of strength, 80 years. 80. I got 4 more years to reach to 80. By reason of strength, I don't know. I'm getting weaker every day. I feel very cold over here in London. Because over in Singapore, we don't have this temperature. You know, I literally almost freeze. I could say that. Almost become a snowman. It was that cold to me. I'm getting weaker, so I don't know whether I can cross the 80-year-old mark. I don't know. It's all by the grace of God. Okay. So, while God has given me the time, I'll work for him. Okay. I do whatever he wants me to do, and I do it happily and gladly for him. Because God is good to me. He has been very good to me. He has brought me through a lot of stuff in life. Kept me safe for a lot of times. Gave me a good wife, 4 children, 3 grandchildren. I really enjoyed my life. I thank God. I do hope that you too will have a good life. That you too will enjoy God. That your time on earth will be profitable. Okay. But then there will come a time when it will end. And eternity will begin. But before that, while God has given us time, let us use the time wisely. Redeeming the time. Seize every opportunity that you have to share the gospel. To witness for the Lord. Okay. We say we have been Christians for so many years. How many souls have we spoken to about Jesus? How many souls have we led to the Lord? Everything God demands of us one day at the judgment seat. What did you do with the life I gave you? The time you spend on earth. The years you spend on earth. Okay. So in Romans 13, let's go to Romans 13. Paul gives the exhortation here. This is what he said in verse 11. He says, and that knowing the time, we all know the time. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7 tells us, perilous times will come. Dangerous times. And I believe we are living in these dangerous times. If you watch the news, you see so many shootings in America. They just go to school and shoot down all the kids. They go to their workplaces and shoot down their colleagues. And they shoot randomly. They don't care who they kill. Like the neighbor, the Texas, who lives in Texas. He was, I think, listening to his radio too loudly. The neighbor came over and asked him to soften it because the baby wants to sleep. He got his gun and went over to the neighbor's house and he shot 5 of them dead. Imagine that. Regardless whether you're young or old, whether life is precious or not, he doesn't care, he just shoots. That's so sad. And we get people going to schools shooting the children. What did the children do to them? What crime did they do? We don't know. These are all dangerous times. And thank God, it's not so widespread over here, I guess. But we still need to be careful. We still need to be alert. We don't know what's happening. But we thank God, He has set His angels to encamp around us, keeping us safe. Perilous times. Why? Because men shall be lovers of themselves. Men love themselves more than they love their neighbors, more than they love anything else. They become despisers of those that do good. If you sometimes do good to them, instead of thanking you, they turn around and say, why don't you mind your own business, you know? Out of a kindness of your heart, you want to help them. They don't appreciate that. People don't appreciate your kindness at all today. Not like in the days of old. In the days of old, when the students see the teacher, they bow, you know. Today, they see the teacher, they snuff and walk past the teacher with their nose in the air. No more respect. Children. When I was teaching as a relief teacher back in school, the days were gone, the good old days, where children respect you. There was a boy who was very naughty. He just refused to do his work. I told him, I have to punish you, you know, if you go around and disturb the other children. You know what he said to me? I tell my mother. So it's the parents that encourage the children. If they misbehave, and if the parent, if the teachers punish them, tell them, and they will write to the ministry to complain about the teacher. And sad to say, the ministry will listen to the complaint, you know, even though it's anonymous. And they'll send an inspector to your school the next day and find out what is happening. That is the situation now in Singapore. Happening in the school now. So the school is no more a place where teacher can really teach safely, care for the students. The children don't appreciate that anymore. You want to teach them what is right. You want to teach them to be good citizens of the country. They don't appreciate that. They don't thank you for that anymore. They don't care if you care for them, if you take effort to teach them. They don't say thank you anymore to you. In the old days, they did. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for being a good teacher. Thank you for helping me, and so on. They give you cards and so on. Today, no. Very few. Only those who appreciate will, and that's only a handful. So we are living in perilous times. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Oh, they come to church, they say, I'm a Christian. But they do not have the power of the Spirit living in their lives. Everybody seems to be a Christian nowadays, just because they have a Christian name, just because they wear a cross or carry a Bible. You think they're Christians? They think they're really born again? You see their life, it doesn't show that. Okay? They say they know God, Titus, but in works, they deny Him. Today, Christians, no more. walk in the light of God's word. They do what is right. They think what is right. They do it. They don't care what God says. As long as I'm okay, that's okay with me. Me. It's always me. That's what's happening. That's perilous times. And it is now in our midst. Okay? And Paul says, during his time, more than 2,000 years ago, he already said that. Imagine 2,000 years after Paul's era, what is happening? It's getting worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. That's what he says. Men are becoming worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's why you get so many scams, scammers. They are deceiving. And scammers also get scammed. They are also being deceived. So that is what's happening. And so what does Paul says? He says, now you know the time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Sleep is important to our soul. It's good for health. But some people just keep on sleeping. Sometimes people come to church and they sleep in the church. I remember one time when I was preaching, one lady came up to me, thank God, today's message was very good. I never fall asleep. That means she fell asleep during other times. I was preaching in heaven. And she told me it was interesting. She never fell asleep because she wanted to know what heaven looks like. I was kidding in my heart. I said, I hope you don't fall asleep in heaven. Since you fall asleep in church, you know. Okay. Time to wake up from our sleep. If we have been sleeping all this while, time to wake up. Don't keep on sleeping, you know. Look at the time. Dangerous times. Don't sleep through dangerous times. And he says what else? He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Yeah. I believe in Jesus somewhere in 1970s. 50 years have gone by. And my salvation is nearer. 50 years nearer. Jesus is coming back. He says he's coming back. And his disciple asked him, what are your signs? He says there are wars, rumors of wars, famine, earthquakes, and so on. And we are seeing it today, right? The war that's going on in Ukraine, the famine, the earthquakes. The number of earthquakes has increased tremendously. Yesterday or the day before, there was an earthquake in Japan. Thank God that this country is not in an earthquake zone. You don't fear the earthquake. It doesn't mean that if you don't fear the earthquake, there are no earthquakes around, you know. There are. And sometimes it's frightening. There are so many of them. Lives lost, property destroyed, and so on. In Singapore, we thank God we don't have earthquake. But we can feel the tremor sometimes. So we need to be aware of the times. And he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Night is always about sin. Darkness. He talks about sin in the Bible. Far spent. Jesus has gone back almost 2,000 years. He says it's coming. We don't know when. Some people predict it's this year. I don't know. Or usually, all those predictions are always wrong. So we just wait. And Jesus says, you don't know. Even he himself as man doesn't know when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. And if one day the Father tells Jesus, go back, he will come. And the rapture will begin and all of us will be caught up in the cloud to meet with him in the air. That will be a great time of rejoicing. And he says what? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Casting off and putting on is just like, you know, putting on your clothes. Last night you went to bed, you put on your pajamas, you put on your night clothes. This morning you wake up, you get ready to come to church, you pass off your sleeping clothes, and you put on your Sunday best, and you come to church to meet God and worship God. That's casting off. So you have to cast off your sin, your old sin, your old habits, whatever that hinders you from having a relationship with God, and put on the armor of light. The armor of light is actually Jesus Christ himself, because verse 14 tells us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 12 at the end, put on the armor of light. So Jesus is actually the armor of light. That means we have to put on Jesus every day. When we go to school, when we go to work, when we get out the house, when we are in the house, we have to put on Jesus. So that he can live his life in and through us. That when people see us, they will not see us and say, oh, you're a good man. No, it is Jesus who makes us good. We are not good. Who is good? No one is good, Jesus says, right? Do you dare to claim yourself you are good? I don't think we dare to claim that we are good. It's God who makes us good. He has changed us. We have become a new creature when we believe and accept Jesus as our Savior. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We become a new creature in Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no newness of life. There's no life even. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief came to steal, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus gives us abundant life. We don't exist, you know, we live. You know, when we do survey, you don't become a human, right? You become a statistic, you know. You know that? When you do survey, how many percent say this is good, how many percent say this is bad, and so on. So you are actually a statistic. You're no more human. So when we become a Christian, we live, we don't exist. We live life, because Jesus himself is life. I am the life, he says. And he lives in us and through us. That's why people can see the goodness in us, not because we are good, but because Jesus is good. He went about doing good. So when we do good things, people sometimes ask. I read a story about four young Nigerian men. They were rushing somewhere. In the course of their haste, they knocked down a little girl who was selling oranges. All her oranges were scattered on the floor. The young man looked at her and they laughed. They thought it was funny. One man among them, I believe he was a Christian, he turned back and helped her to pick up the orange and put them back in the basket. And you know what the little girl say after that? Are you Jesus? He says, no, I'm not, but I'm one of his followers. You see, you do good, people can see that you are different from the people of the world. The people of the world can't be bothered with you. You know? They just pass you by, they knock into you, they don't even say sorry to you. And sometimes you look at them, they glare at you and say, why are you staring at me? You want to fight? That's human. But we are not. We are peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We follow the footsteps of our Lord. He was a man of peace. So we shouldn't get into fights with people. We are not like them. We are better than them. We thank God. And so, this is what we have to do. Put on Jesus Christ. And then, what are the works of darkness. Throughout the work of darkness, the work of darkness are all this: rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, envying. Chambering and wantonness grouped together, it is illicit sexual relationship, is impurity. Spurgeon has this quote. He says, "The rags of sin must come off if we put on the robe of Christ. There must be a taking away of the love of sin. There must be a renouncing of the practices and habits of sin, or else a man cannot be a Christian. It will be an idle attempt to try to wear religion as a sort of celestial overall over the top of the old sins." You don't use religion to cover yourself and think that you have changed. Your heart is still the same. The Bible says what? The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And God said, "Give me the heart. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will change your hard-hearted heart with a heart of flesh that can feel for others." Do we sympathize with others when they are suffering? When we see something bad happening to them, do we feel sorry for them? Do we feel a sense of need to help them? If not, then we have a hardened heart. We are not moved by compassion. Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And as his children, we ought to be moved with compassion to those who are suffering, to those who are less fortunate than we are. Open our heart. Open our wallet. Sometimes we open our heart but not our wallet, right? Our wallet seems so difficult to open sometimes, you know. Yeah. We are so afraid to share. Yeah. Put away all these things, but put on Jesus Christ. Okay. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't give way to flesh. If you give way once, you give way again the second time, and so on. Being tempted is not a sin. Yielding to temptation is a sin. Don't yield to temptation. Resist temptation. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So remember, our time on earth is short. Peter says it's just like the flower, the grass that grows up today, tomorrow it withers. It's just like the flower of the grass. It grows up, in the evening it dies. That's our life. James says it's like a vapor that appears for a while and then it vanishes away. Time, once past, is gone forever. You cannot wish that you are back, you know, to your young age. You wish you could, right? But you can't. I wish I was young again, no? So that I could run and jump and, you know, do everything the kids do. I can't. You play catching with them, you can never catch them. They can run faster than you. Because they are full of energy. At one stage, I had anemia. And sometimes, people saw me walking on the road. They say, "You are so haggard, you are so slow, and you walk with so much difficulty." I didn't know I had anemia until I went for my blood test. And then the nurse called me and said, "Hey, you better come to the hospital, it's a matter of life and death." So I went. And they pumped 3 pints of blood in me, you know. And after that, I felt so energetic. I could run, I could walk, I could run. And the same person saw me, she said, "Wow, what a change. You don't look haggard anymore, you don't look tired anymore, you walk so briskly," and so on. I said, must be the young blood, you know, that I was given. Thank God they didn't pump old man's blood in me, or else I would have walked even slower. But they gave me, I believe, young blood. And that was about 2 years ago. It's wearing off, I think. I'm getting tired now. Maybe I should go back and ask for another 3 pints of young blood so that I can run again. You wish you could, but you can't. It's gone. Sometimes people say second childhood. That's nonsense, you know. It's not true. Especially when people who grow old, they go back to the second childhood. That's not true. I don't believe that. Maybe you throw tantrum because you can't get the things you want and so on. The second childhood? I don't want to have that. Once gone, it's gone. Your life, once it's over, is over. You cannot wish that you can come back and do what you didn't do. You can't. It's gone. So value time. Make time for God. Make time for yourself. Okay? Don't work all the time. Spending all your energy on work and so on. Okay? Make time for the family. Okay? Take time to know God, to know Christ. Take time to work for Him. Time is given to us, every one of us, 24 hours a day. No more, no less. How we spend it, how we value it, depends on every one of us. Okay? I can't choose to make you follow your time. Okay? You can't make me to choose what to do. Okay? We all have freedom. Okay? So thank God for the time He has given to us and the time to come here to worship Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the time you have blessed us with this day. Thank you for bringing us safely to thy house to worship thee and to hear thy word. We pray that thy word will take effect in our life, that we may live and spend our time profitably for thy kingdom, for thy glory, for thy honor. So help us, Lord, to remember what we have heard and bless thy word to our heart that will bring success. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.